Your annual stewardship drive has begun. A weary joke about the minister's sermon at stewardship calls it the sermon on the amount. I do that every year. I get that response. And you are being invited to gather in your caring circles to learn what Human's 2016 to 2017 financial future looks like, and to add your 2 cents, hopefully more, in the form of a pledge for the fiscal year that starts on July 1st. You'll hear a little bit more about that at the end of the service. As a settled minister for 13 years before becoming an interim, my approach to the Sermon on the Amount was to take another approach. The standard sermon felt like singing for my own supper. Professional ministry is the biggest ticket item in the budget, and I can't make that into anything else. However, as an interim minister, I'm charged with singing for my successor's supper, which isn't hard at all. I believe in professional religious leadership. And by that I mean not only the resident spiritual leader, moi for the moment, but also the religious education director, music director, office administrator, accompanist, childcare, the entire congregational payroll. I believe in compensating staff generously for the work they do. I depend on them. So do you, even if you don't realize it. And in my opinion, you've got some of the best staff there is. My colleague, the late Gordon McKeeman's meditation, which I just read to you, that's a staple of ordinations, installations, and sermons like this one, and you can see why. Ministry is a quality of relationship between and among human beings that beckons forth hidden possibilities. That sums it up. But I could stop right now, but since I have around 20 minutes, I'll keep going. Like all institutions, religious community has its own terminology. And shared ministry, or sharing the ministry, is shorthand for what Reverend McKeeman put into lyrical language. Shared ministry encompasses minister, staff, lay leaders, children, youth, absolutely everyone in the congregation, and even visitors, although we don't ask you to pledge. Stewardship. Stewardship is actually broad terminology for everything a congregation does to sustain its existence. Financial stewardship, the object of pledge campaigns, is an element of the whole. It's not the whole itself. A Buddhist might call financial stewardship a finger pointing at the moon, not to be mistaken for the moon itself. Financial stewardship is one of the more obvious aspects of shared ministry, however, but it's far from the last word, let alone the only word. A congregation's budget is a human document in the same sense that ministry is a human embrace of humans' abiding relationship with the holy. If all goes well, as it has to date, within a matter of months you will be calling Human's next settled minister. What a minister does between services is invisible much of the time. So this morning I mean to shine my little light on the bang for the buck you get with your pledge where a minister is concerned. Not so much because of the services we provide, but because of the spirit that underscores the ministerial vocation, because it is a vocation that you, the congregation, are called to share in the same way. No minister ministers alone. Professional ministers come and go. The congregation stays. Shared ministry gives visible shape, continuity, and therefore meaning to the invisible holy. There is a dream package that every congregation wants from a minister. I can rattle this off fast. It's in no particular order. Stimulating preacher, inspiring teacher, well-educated, widely read, conversant with a number of religious and spiritual traditions, inclusive of the needs and entities that contribute to diverse Unitarian Universalist community, good at pastoral care, visiting and counseling, but also rites of passage, marriage, memorials, child dedications, civic involvement, social justice, interfaith relations, denominational concerns, media skills are increasingly desired there, good with children, adults, and elders, religious education experience is a bonus, sociable but not a meddler, growth-oriented, will attract new members, especially young families, charismatic leader, inspires and motivates the congregation, administrative aptitude, pertaining especially to the board, committees, and staff, collaborative, not authoritarian, a peacemaker, not an antagonist, model self-care, gets plenty of rest, vegan optional. Have I left anything out? Oh, yes, musical skills. Divinity students at my seminary, Star King, were frequently invited to preach in nearby congregations at the reduced, not yet ordained rate. One congregation with musical ambitions wanted to know if I could play the cello like their last guest minister did. Their last guest minister had been the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, who before she entered the ministry herself was a concert cellist. So what I said aloud, knowing this, what I said aloud was, no. What I said inside and wisely kept there was, no, but once in college I played a prostitute in the Three Penny Opera. Absolutely true. Shared ministry, though, it has a name. It has a history by that name. And in the mid-90s, sort of when I was in seminary with Greg Ward, as some of you may know, in the mid-90s, progressive Christians introduced and spread the idea that a congregation's ministry is in the hands of the entire congregation, not only the professional minister. Shared ministry was seen as a reciprocal sacrament. All were invited to contribute their gifts and talents in service to God. And the people who created shared ministry by that name, created the brand, so to speak, they had the advantage of the Christian story to anchor their books and their workshops. They hadn't reckoned on Unitarian Universalists. So we had to do some translating, bringing this to our congregations. So a good question for pondering here, and I'll leave you with for just a second, is, what story anchors us? On one hand, the shared ministry concept made sound UU sense given our democratic principles. And on the other hand, our besetting sin has long, long been a penchant for micromanagement. Negotiations over who was sharing what could get touchy. There were turf wars. This is about the time I entered the ministry. More than one minister learned the hard way, and more than one congregation did too. What took several years to realize is that shared ministry is and must be a balancing of give and take between control, intention that is, and surrender. A spiritual discipline is what it is, and it was one we needed to learn and have. There used to be a monthly journal for ministers called First Day's Record, and on the first day of each month, a nominated group of ministers would submit an essay about whatever was on their minds concerning their vocation, and these were compiled and sent to subscribers. FDR, as it was called, was a labor of love. It was not a revenue source. I subscribed and later was nominated to write. But not long after that, the publication folded, and that was because the editor retired, not because of anything I said. I describe the distinction between the laity and the reverend as this. Yes, we are all in the same boat, but one of us is paid to hang her feet over the side, and sometimes there are sharks. Sure, the minister is where the buck stops, but the congregation is where the buck starts. Sharing ministry is not just about divvying up the workload or helping out the minister in a pinch. Shared ministry is a heightened mutual consciousness. It's ongoing. To illustrate this, I will call upon excerpts from my favorite submission to First Day's record, which means it's pretty old by now. It's maybe 10 years old. Letters to the Minister by the Reverend David Rankin, who has since retired. And then I'm going to follow it up with a single entry from the Unitarian Universalist Lay Leaders E-List. Some of my favorite comments on ministry. Starting with theology. Dear Reverend Rankin, I heard your sermon on the Virgin Mary. It was shocking and disgusting. If Mary was not a virgin, then Jesus was not the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind. Dear sir, I think you're onto something. Maybe no one ever said that to David Rankin in real life, but on the other hand, maybe someone did. A newcomer once asked me in all seriousness whether Unitarian Universalist ministers were celibate. Catholicism was her only reference point. When you stop laughing, think about it for a minute. Being religious liberals does not make Unitarian Universalists exceptional. I'm sorry, it just does not. However, being Unitarian Universalist does complicate explaining our faith to seekers whose experience of religion to date may have conventional roots, as it did for that woman. The Unitarian Universalist heritage is chock full of forebears you'd have over for dinner if only they hadn't died a few centuries ago. Start anywhere you like along the spectrum of voices that have made us the people we are today, but do start. Shared ministry is shared passion for this faith. Be evangelists, for God's sake. Just please don't perpetuate glib misunderstandings like no one here is a Christian, or my personal teeth gritter, you youths can believe anything they want. I actually heard someone say that on television once. Dear Reverend Rankin, I object to prayer, the mention of God, and the traditional hymns we sing on Sunday morning. We have outgrown these relics from the past. Let's get modern in our approach to religion. Dear sir, the best of the modern includes the best from the past. Like the program for a great symphony orchestra, we look for the truth and beauty that abides in every work. Newcomers to Unitarian Universalism are often surprised and really delighted by the extent of lay participation in our services. For instance, the Worship Associates Reflection, that would be an example. You mean somebody from the congregation might actually deliver a sermon? How unusual. For us, it's not unusual. It's liturgy. And my minister's philosophy of worship, which I share with a lot of people, is based on that good old-fashioned church word, liturgy. Liturgy means the work of the people. Ministers, worship associates, and musicians pour themselves into creating smooth-flowing experiences of the holy. We are our own worst critics. Slip-ups are inevitable, as I think you would agree. Sunday services at UMIN are not performances subject to clapping or critique. To the people who labor over them, they are, in a timely word, Valentine's to you, the congregation. Shared ministry understands that Sunday services are gateways to the fullness of Unitarian Universalism at UMIN and in the world, and we want them to be really, really good. Social justice. Dear Reverend Rankin, the world is coming apart. I would like to hear sermons on serious themes. The problems we face are immense. Dear Madam, within the last 6 weeks, I have spoken on death, the Holocaust, and nuclear war. If you have a more serious subject, I hope you'll keep it to yourself. The problems we face are immense, that's true. Add to David Rankin's list systemic racism, Islamophobia, environmental degradation, transphobia, really oppression in any form and all else that is of deepest social concern. We pulpit people sometimes feel like oppressors ourselves, raising these subjects repeatedly. However, it's important to remember that Unitarian Universalism is an activist faith. Deeds, not creeds. Especially for younger generations and newcomers who neither know nor want their religion any other way. Shared ministry is willingness to step outside the congregational comfort zone, even when you're uncertain. To take to the streets, take to the media, the state capitol, wherever the public square calls us to speak Unitarian Universalism out loud, because the public square needs our voices. Shared ministry is a mutual covenant to live the meaning of transformational human community. Finally, Mr. Arthur Unger and I were at UU's in California, and I could hear his satiric humor operating behind the scenes in his response to a question on the lay leaders list. Sad to say, I have learned that not everyone got the joke. The question was, does anyone out there have specific language written into their minister's contract which allows for evaluation based on measurable criteria? To which Mr. Unger replied, well, I believe the professional minister is the spiritual leader of the congregation. Thus, the evaluation should be based on whether the congregation has grown spiritually. So, in establishing criteria, you might consider questions such as, how many minutes per day have the congregation members meditated, median and mean, and how many members have experienced the oneness of all beings in the past year? Shared ministry takes the holy seriously, but not too seriously. May the love and the ministry we share bring us ever closer to relationships that beckon forth possibilities inherent in ourselves and in the love we embrace, the love that will not let us go. May it be so. Freely do we receive the gifts and the humor of this faith community, and gladly do return a portion of that bounty through the morning offering.
included that.